Bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We are sort of beginning another election season. At least there's been quite a number of candidates that are out there on both sides. They got a nice slate of candidates, I suppose. And of course, lots of words, lots of talk, and lots of words, and lots of words. Little action, but as usual, lots of words. And of course, soon every television program is going to have these lots of words preceding them, lots of words during them, and lots of words after them. And we'll get to hear what each other think of the other candidates and all of the other people. And of course, we'll hear all of these promises from those who do not know nor regard the truth. But ultimately, we will find ourselves in a similar position as the children of Israel and with similar results if we do not take heed to the great truth of the Word of God to trust in the Lord. I'd like to just read you this record of 1 Samuel because God tells us exactly what is going to happen. And it seems like we're always shocked by the time the person's inaugurated and we've been through their reign for a period of time, and we're sort of shocked and dismayed perhaps about some of the things that they've done, and other people are terrifically happy about some of the things that they've done and sad to wave goodbye and all this other stuff. But I wanted to share this with you just in light of the things that are coming. But most of all, I wanted to give you consolation and exhortation to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, it begins, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways and turned aside after lucre," money. They were very interested in money. "And not only that, took bribes and perverted judgment." Well, that kind of goes along with it. Because people don't have to walk with the Lord, and no matter what background you may have come out of, and no matter who was, you know, in your lineage or whatever, is no guarantee that a man or a woman is still going to walk for God. We still have the responsibility, each of us, to determine what we are going to walk for God. We are going to trust God. We are going to be sanctified. We are going to walk in the sanctification that God has set us apart for, and we're going to live godly lives. You're not just going to automatically live a godly life, not because you hold a position or not because of what lineage you came from. These guys held positions and they were as corrupt as the day is long. It's a sad thing. I'm sure Samuel did the job he was supposed to do, I suppose, but in any case, at some point, then it's up to the individual to believe, it's up to the individual to walk, it's up to the individual to take on the authority, and it's up to the individual to live godly. It says in verse 4, "And the people were aware of it because they took bribes and they did what? Perverted judgment." So, and people are still shocked today. You know, you hear decisions that are made in court and you say, how in the world did they ever make that decision? Real simple. They accept bribes and they pervert judgment because they're after filthy lucre. "Then the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So their solution is, let's change the way we're being governed. The problem is not in the way you're being governed, it's the way that you are governing yourself and how you are living. And we'll get to that in a little bit when we learn and look at trust in the Lord. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Why did they want a king to judge them? Because they were too daggum lazy to judge themselves and keep themselves intact. The law is not made for a righteous man. So if a man or a woman lives righteously, do they need the law? No, it's made for the unrighteous, for the sinner. It is made for those who do that which is illegal. It's a simple thing. If people live a moral life, then they don't need law. But when you have people who don't want to live that way, then you need to have law. And obviously, these people decided, we don't want to live that way. We want somebody else to make the judgments. And you know what you have? Man's judgment. And as honest a man can be, he'll go so far. But you never forget, we are in a spiritual world, where there are spiritual attacks and there are spiritual devices that fool men. Well, that's what their idea or their solution was, change the system of government instead of just believing God and continuing to trust in God. Well, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto their voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they haven't rejected thee, but they have rejected what? That I should not reign over them. If you desire for God to reign over you, no man can stop it. The only one is you when you decide you no longer want his judgments and his ways to rule over your life, and you decide that you need somebody else. Well, verse 8, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. So God says, okay, you want a king? I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you a king. But now, Samuel, you go tell them what kind of king they're going to have. And, you know, this is not just speaking about the coming of King Saul. He's not making a comment concerning Saul, who will be the one to be king. Because of all the people of the children of Israel, of all the men of that time, Saul was the pick of the litter. And this is the type of king you will always have over you, whether he's, you want to call him your governor, you want to call him premier, you want to call him president, you want to call him congressman, you want to call him senator, I don't care what you want to call him. They all follow exactly this same route. And God is so kind to show us this is what you're going to get. Now, I'm not saying these things to dissuade you from participating in the political process. I just want your participation to be with eyes wide open. Because this is what God says. This is the type of leader you're going to get. One who fills his or her own basket with your labors and with your wealth. And that's the type of one you're going to get. Verse 10, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king. And he said, this is the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And again, he's not just speaking about Saul. He's speaking about any type of man-made leader that men have chosen. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And you know what that means? They go, they run, you know, they get out in front of him and they say, here comes the glorious king. Here's the guy that's going to save everything. Here's the guy that does all these great stuff. He's the greatest president we've ever had. He's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, he's fair, he's this, he's that, he's so, oh, he's awesome. He's going to save our nation. And don't we have that with every election? This is the guy. I stand with him. I stand with so-and-so because he is the greatest. He's going to change our nation. He's going to bring in all these great things, and he's going to do all these wonderful things, and so on and so forth. Run before the chariot. You know, they say about some of our congressmen, never get in between them and the cameras if you don't want to get trampled. Oh boy. Well, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. We call it tax. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his... Well, what about all the programs? We have to finance all the programs and all of these different things. Where is he giving the money to? His servants and his, what? Officers. Where does it go today? His servants and his officers. It's called bribes. And it is called filthy lucre. And you know what you get? Perverted judgment. That's all you're going to get. I hate to be disappointing to anyone, but that's what happens. Why? Because we have an adversary that rules the kingdoms of this world. I'll show you in a minute here. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. Asses meaning the horse, you know. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in the day, because your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Why? Because you have transferred your authority that he has delegated to you, because you want someone else to take authority for your life. And this is the type of authority he will take, and this is the type of authority he will exercise over you. You had an opportunity to reign. you had an opportunity to exercise authority as an individual and have me reign over you, but now you've decided you're going to transfer your authority to someone else, and this is the type of person that's going to exercise your authority, and he will exercise it over you. And you know what the people said? Verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us that we may be like all the nations. Yes, let's take a look at Sweden and see how they handle Social Security. Let's take a look over at this nation and see how they have a medical plan. It takes care of everybody. And they have this and they have that. And let's make ours like theirs, and then we'll have everybody taken care of. Well, you had everybody taken care of when everybody had their authority to just go to God on their own and ask him and allow him to rule over them. But now you've decided you don't want God's healing. You would rather have some type of program. You would rather have some type of thing where you go in and you show a card and these people can take care of you. And then you're going to have to follow what they say, or you're going to be put out of the program, or you're not going to have access to certain things in the program. So although we have examined you and now you seem to be clear of this disease, let's make sure, and you have to go through this particular treatment plan just in case. And this particular treatment plan will break down your entire immune system and all these other things. But just in case, we want to make sure. Because after all, we might get sued. We want to be like all these nations. Then why are all these nations people trying to come over here? Well, because they think we have a better judge. Well, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. What king does that today? You have a bunch of fat butt old men sitting smoking cigars in some room miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away from war, and your children are there in the battle, and they sit there smoking. What should we do? And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, that's what they want. Hearken to their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. And then it says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bichorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Does it sound like he's got some pretty good credentials? Yeah. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and goodly. This word goodly means he is favorable and good. He's kind, just a wonderful one. If you were going to pick somebody, this guy for Israel was the pick of the litter. He was a kind man. He was a gracious man. He was a loving man. He was a humble man, and so forth. And of all the people at that time, well, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders up, and upward, he was higher than all of the people. He was built well. He was healthy. He was strong. He had a great demeanor and all of these wonderful virtues and qualities that you would want. But we know what happened with Saul. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to be very plain to you in speaking this, because I believe God was very plain to the children of Israel in telling them. And there's things you must consider, because we do live in a spiritual world. In Luke chapter 4, and this is the temptations of Jesus Christ, and it says in verse 6, well, let's start with in verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Here is a snapshot. How many kingdoms? All of them. All of them. In a moment of time. In that particular moment, here's what it looks like. You know, it's kind of a snapshot. Why? Because it doesn't change. You know, there's different people, there's different buildings, there's different this, there's different that, but actually the underlying truth does not change. And the devil said unto him, unto Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I what? Give it. The word power is the word exousia, the Greek word exousia. Exousia is the authority to exercise power, and you can say over an area of responsibility. His authority to exercise power over his area of responsibility was all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, it belongs to me. All of this will I give thee, and all the glory of them, for that is delivered unto what? Me. The New American Standard reads, it's been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomsoever I wish. The New International translates it, I will give the authority and splendor, for it is given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So who runs the kingdoms of the world? Who has the authority over all the kingdoms of the world? The Bible says that the devil does. And he says he will give it, then the glory of it, all of it, to whomsoever he what? Wants. Who do you think he gives it to? He has, what he does, you know, he doesn't give it to men. Understand that, because men are not trustworthy in the sense, you know, you work with man, they're fickle. They're here today, gone tomorrow. They're for this today, they're for that tomorrow. They're all over the place. He wouldn't entrust it to man. You know who he entrusts it to? Others of his evil spirit realm. Now, if I am a man and I want to get to operate and have the glory over one of those kingdoms, then I must accept that evil spirit in order to get control, or so I think. And once you do, he has got you. You're not going to fool him and say, oh, you know, I'm going to act like I'm going to be real devilish, but, you know, when I get out there, I'll be real good. You don't fool him, because in order to get to that place of power, you have to accept that spirit and be under his rulership. And he is under the devil's rule. That's what the scriptures say. You want to argue with it? You don't like the idea? Don't like the idea. You know, but we don't like, you know, I don't want our president or our so-and-so to be this way or to be that way. That's the way God says they're going to be. So you have a choice to make. And you never subjugate yourself to any of these things, because no heart, no mind, no intellect can withstand the onslaughts of the evil spirit realm. Only the Word of God living in the heart and life of an individual will give them the ability to stand and triumph. Now, these men, because somebody's going to rule, these men do need our prayers and our intercession. That's why in Timothy it says, I exhort you to pray for kings and for all them that are in authority. What kind of authority? Authority over these areas in the adversary's kingdom, that we need to make intercession for them, because there is a spirit that has authority over them. I can't put it any plainer. I don't know how to express it any other way, but that's what the scriptures say. But you and I can still have the Lord to reign over us if we decide we're going to allow his word to live within us. If we're going to allow our hearts to believe the truth and act upon it. If we're going to allow Jesus Christ to be our Lord and allow him to truly be our Lord, not just our Savior, but our Lord. Because he came that we might have life, and that we might have it how? More abundantly, even in this time, with all of these kingdoms under the rulership of the adversary. We have the opportunity to exercise a greater authority, which is shown forth in Luke chapter 10, if you'll go there with me. Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 70. It says in verse 17, Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with what? Joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That is the only way we will have victory. That is the only way we will be able to enjoy the more abundant life that Jesus Christ came to make available and gave to us. And he said, unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. That's the exact same word, exousia, authority to exercise power over an area of responsibility. And my greatest area of responsibility is me. I give you power. I give it to you. I'm not holding it. Don't we keep asking God, do this, God, do that. I give you power. I give it to you. And he gives us instructions how to utilize that power, what is a proper usage of that power, and what is an improper usage of that power. Remember, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. The adversary, the reason he has such great power is because originally when he was an angel of light, God gave him power. God never took it back from him. He just decided he's going to use that power that God gave him to reflect light and to do good, now to cover light and to do evil. But the scriptures say, I give you what? Power, exousia, authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, and here the word power is dunamis, it's all the potential, of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What does it mean? Exactly what it says. That's the kind of power and authority we have. If we don't exercise the authority, we get hurt. But he does not want it to give you hurt by any means. None of it shall hurt you by any means. If we determine we are going to really believe he has given us power and authority, he has instructed us how to utilize it, and we then start to act with a heart full of believing in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Then our heart, then our mind and our intellect from a spiritual perspective, because we have taken on what the scriptures say God has made available to us, can withstand the onslaughts of the evil spirit realm and shut it down. Because the word is living in the heart of a believing one, and we will triumph. I give it to whomsoever I wish. I tell you, boy. But we are to trust in the Lord. And if we trust in the Lord, let's look at some of these great verses. Look at the 146th Psalm. And you just cannot give up this power and authority unless you're going to delegated to a minister for a specific period of time to help you in a situation. Like I've had situations where I've been in other places under someone else's ministry, and I have borrowed their authority so that I could effectually minister to the people that I was there to serve. I've been given that opportunity, but I always give that authority back when I am finished. I have been in situations where people have not had the believing heart to take care of themselves in a situation, and I have asked and gotten their authority to believe for their healing and to believe for their deliverance, and bless God, they have gotten healing and deliverance, and I have given them back their authority because now they're whole and able to move out on their own. But don't delegate it to man. Psalm 146, verse 3, it says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no what? And the word help means salvation, or it can also be translated rescue. they cannot rescue you. The only one that can rescue you is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's already done it. The word princes is noble. They can be generous. They can be great, wonderful men with great desire to help, only they do not recognize the spiritual problems and the spiritual authority that underlies all of the kingdoms of the world. I'm not saying these men are bad men. Saul was a wonderful man. As a matter of fact, when his life was over and David was eulogizing, he talked about how wonderful Saul was and how grateful the children of Israel should have been for Saul. But Saul was not equipped to handle the spiritual things that go on and underlie our lives in our world. And we have sent men and women into the lion's den who've been wonderful, good-hearted people, but they just get ripped to shreds. If you're going to support a candidate, he doesn't need your finances. He needs your intercession. He needs your prayer. He needs your commitment to exercise your spiritual authority as a son of God in making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then all things work together for good to them that love God. That's right. Do you see it? I'm not shouting at you. I'm just kind of hyped up. I apologize. I want you to really get this point, and don't be lulled to sleep on it, because it is absolute truth. The way we are structured, we do have to elect men. We do have to elect women to serve in these responsibilities. And if we are going to support our candidates, let's support them from where our real strength and authority lies, which is in the spiritual. Then honestly, take on the responsibility, like the Amicus Alliance. You know, not just you're gonna catch a prayer every now and again, you're going to catch a little prayer here, you have determined, I'm going to support this candidate. I would set aside very specific time. You know, it doesn't have to be the same time every day and all that, but where you can just sit down and speak in tongues for that candidate and the work that they are doing and the work that they're responsible for, and even more so, the candidate that gets elected, that he can carry out the job for the benefit of the American people and the benefit of believers everywhere. Make that kind of a commitment to someone. Whether you're going to commit yourself to go out and hand out pamphlets or some of these other things, let that be secondary for you as a believer. Let that be the secondary thing. That if you've got time to do that, fine. You've got time to make phone calls. You've got time to talk to other people, fine. But the biggest thing that candidate needs is not your money. He needs someone who really knows their authority to make intercession for them according to the will of God. And you do. And you are very good at it. And I have witnessed, because of the Amicus Alliance, I have witnessed the healings and things that have gone on of people that aren't even related to Beloved of God Ministries. People who know somebody who's in Beloved of God Ministries have seen awesome signs, miracles, and wonders because we sit down and we believe when we pray, things happen. When we make intercession, things take place in a positive and wonderful way. Well, if you trust in men, you're going to need to be rescued. It's that deep. But God knows this, and he's so gracious to tell us, not that this might happen, not that this might happen, it does and it will. and we need to be aware. So you utilize your trust in the Lord to make intercession for that saint, because I trust that God will do a perfect work. I trust that when I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if he hears me, I have those petitions that I have asked of him. And I am fully persuaded that when I speak in tongues, I can only ask according to his will. And therefore, I know it's from my mouth to God's ear. There's no question about it. He's heard. And it is perfect prayer and perfect intercession according to the will of God. Therefore, I know he's heard the prayer and he's answered the petition I've made. The world will keep you busy so you don't have time to pray. But that's why you have to decide, I am going to do this. Maybe as soon as I lay down in my bed, before I go to sleep, I'm going to speak in tongues and pray for that particular situation every night. That's a good time. Or the minute I jump in the shower, because I shower every day, and the second I go in the shower, I'll utilize that time so I know it has been done today. I don't know, but I do know he, whoever your candidate choice, whatever, if you're going to do that, needs your perfect prayer. And they need it consistently because the adversary's work is relentless. And we've seen good people that have just been torn up by other candidates. But it's not really, because there's an evil one behind it, and he's just using their voice. Let's look at, there's other ways we can help. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Yeah, come on, Larry, get there. Okay. And in verse 3. It tells us, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We're concerned about people that go to bed hungry. Spread the word of your for your candidate. Here is the way that no one will go hungry. Whether we pass this program or that program or don't pass any program at all, if you are concerned about having your children fed, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you'll dwell in the land, and verily you're going to be fed. You never have to worry about eating. Look at verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, what? Begging bread. I can assure you there is a way to eat in America. And it's simply trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Make him your trust and he will never fail you. If we want to plan for jobs, we want to plan for the welfare of our country, help others, teach others these great truths. Assist your candidate that way. That's how you can help in the political process if you want to be involved in the political process. Let's go to Psalm 40. In Psalm 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. Many shall see it, and what? Fear, and shall do what? Trust in the Lord. You want to get other people to trust in the Lord, then tell people what God has done for you. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon rock and established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. What's the next word? Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You may think, why witness? Every time I witness, it doesn't seem to go very far. God says it's going to go far because many are going to hear it and many shall respect the Lord. Many shall trust in the Lord. Why? Because of your testimony. Trust in the Lord. Do you trust his words? That's what he says is going to be the result. Well, I don't see it. Yeah, I don't see a lot of things, but God said it and that's that. And maybe because we haven't believed it, we haven't seen it, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. You ever have somebody point something out and say, oh, look at that, look at that. You see it? You see it? And you say, no, no, I don't see it. I don't see. And it's right there, you know. And if they took a picture and they came back and said, look, right here, what is that? Oh! A lot of times you don't see stuff because you're taking in a whole view. But God says, it works. Do not stop doing it. It works. He says many are going to. And he says many are going to trust in the Lord. So, isn't that beautiful? It doesn't, and I know people get discouraged because they hear about candidate so-and-so's war chest. Oh, they've got $1 billion. They've got $5 billion to spend on their candidacy. And you think, oh my God, how are we ever going to beat that candidate? It's very simple. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches, what's going to happen to him? Shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that trusteth in his riches shall what? Does that help at all? Oh, boy. The news is always telling us how much money this person has in their war chest, how much they have for their candidacy. And they try and defeat you because you're thinking, oh my gosh, how are we ever going to overcome that? They're going to be on every radio station and all of that stuff. How many of you hear it on the radio station and turn it off? Because you're sick of hearing it. So they're going to fall. That's what it says. Look at Psalm 4. And I'd like to close with this consolation to you. It's going to be a great year. This is going to be an exciting year. In Psalm 4, let's start in verse 3. It says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Who should we have authority? Who should we allow to have authority over us? He set the godly apart for himself. The Lord will hear when I call. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. In other words, be a living sacrifice, showing what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. There may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that there is corn and there is wine increased. I will both lay down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me to dwell in safety. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditations. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in their sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into the house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in the fear, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wicked. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with the tongue. Destroy them, thou, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. And they've never confessed that they were wrong, the whole evil spirit realm. But let all those that put their trust in thee do what? Rejoice, and let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, O Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him with thy shield. Let's let God be the one to maintain rule over us. No matter the directions of the elections, we will win because our trust is always in the Lord and our victory through Jesus Christ. God bless you.